Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. There are 30 million small businesses in the United States, and according to a NERSC survey by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, 54% have either temporarily closed or expect to close within the next 2 weeks. Small business owners and sole proprietors need relief right now. Starting last Friday, small business owners began applying for $350 billion in loans designated through the Paycheck Protection Program. But these loans are given out on a first-come, first-served basis. In the first hour of the program, Bank of America said it received 10,000 loan applications. By Monday, Bank of America received 177,000 applications, totaling $32 billion in loans. Yahoo Finance spoke to three small business owners about their very frustrating experiences. One problem they all shared, a lack of clarity around the fact that independent contractors must apply for loans individually through a separate process that begins tomorrow. Small business owner Danny Babb told Yahoo Finance that the process has been a nightmare. As of Tuesday, only 275,000 loans have been processed, totaling only $75 billion. The National Federation of Independent Business President Brad Close says small businesses make up half of our economy and employ nearly half of all workers, but this has the potential to be the last straw for many small businesses and their employees. So today we're going to talk about what resources are available, what is being done to ensure that this process is not so frustrating. If you are a small business owner or a sole proprietor, we'd love to hear from you. What has your experience been like during COVID-19? And where are you looking for resources? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org or tweet us at yourcallradio. Today, we're joined by Karen Harned, Executive Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses Small Business Legal Center. Karen joins us from Washington, D.C. Hi, Karen. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Rose.
Well, I read a little bit about what people are experiencing. What are you hearing from the small business owners you work with?
Right. Well, we're hearing a lot of frustration as well. We have, as I think you might have noted, approximately 300,000 members nationwide. We have yet to hear of one small business owner that has money in hand. Wow. We do hear of some small business owners getting applications approved or at least starting to be processed, but we have a disturbing number that are still calling saying, look, I have my application, I filled it out, but my bank is not participating in the program, and I cannot find a bank that will take me because many of the banks, especially the larger ones, are just servicing existing customers.
So why don't you walk us through what is actually available? We've got the $350 billion potentially forgivable loan program. It's called now the Paycheck Protection Program. So what is available for a small business through that program?
Correct. So there's two programs. You mentioned the first one is the Paycheck Protection Program. And that one is actually the one that, both went online last Friday, April 3rd. This is the one that financial institutions, commercial banks, credit unions, and other approved lenders are going to be administering. And the loan right now is good through the end of June, June 30th, and covers 8 weeks of eligible expenses. And that's available to, people that have 500 or fewer employees. But you have to use it certain ways, like 75% of what the loan is used for needs to be for payroll. But you can also use 25% for mortgage, rent, utilities, those types of expenses. Then the other type of loan is one that the Small Business Administration is putting out, and that's the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. Again, it's for, businesses with 500 or fewer employees, and the maximum size of the loan for that is $2 million. The thing that's interesting, and people may have heard about this loan, some people call it the EIDL loan, that's the acronym for it, is that you're supposed to receive a grant of up to $10,000 that's forgivable right away if you get one of these loans. And that is now becoming an issue because we're not sure that 10,000 is going to hold. We're hearing reports FBA may not do quite that amount. I should mention on the paycheck protection, I did forget one critical part of that. That's, again, the eight week one that banks are administering. That is a loan, again, if you do 75% payroll, at least for that loan, you can get all of it forgiven at the end of the 8 weeks after. You're going to have to fill out quite a bit of paperwork, as you can imagine. But if you can document that you've used it appropriately, the entire loan would be forgiven. From the Small Business Administration, it would just be up to $10,000 that would be forgiven.
And now, Karen, throughout the hour, we're going to hear from a wide array of business owners. Some people that we have been hearing from are sole proprietors, so people who own their own business and don't have employees, or massage therapists or facialists, for example. They're really concerned because they have no cash flow coming in. So the question they're asking is, how am I supposed to pay back a loan when I have no cash flow coming in, and yet I have to pay my rent?
Right, and that, yes, and we are hearing the same concerns, and sadly, it's exacerbated by the fact that they were supposed to be eligible to receive the payment protection loans that started going into effect on April 3rd. And we are hearing stories that banks are saying, oh, no, you've got to wait till April 10th when the independent contractors come online. So it's been very confusing. That's the self-employed versus sole. But anyway, there's confusion on when you can get those loans. Sole proprietors and independent contractors have to wait till tomorrow. But regardless, your point is well taken. Cash flow is huge for them. And if people that applied last Friday still haven't seen the money, and quite frankly, I hope they see it by next week, then you're talking, these people that are applying tomorrow, you know, are looking at probably at least another two weeks lag time, because the system hasn't even caught up with who applied last week.
Wow. And we already know that rent was due last Wednesday, and now we're about 3 weeks out. So what are you hearing? I mean, I'm sure it varies in terms of people contacting their landlords to ask them to give them a break, or if people rent space, for example. You know, a lot of hairstylists rent chairs. There's so many people who are affected by this.
Right, that's exactly. And honestly, as soon as this it became clear, the scope of the shutdown, you know, three weeks ago, we started getting calls from small business owners. That was actually one of the first things we advised, was call your landlord, call your mortgage company, see if there's any way you can get a deferment. Clearly, everybody knows what's going on, that we're in the middle of a national crisis. See what kind of arrangement you can work out. So hopefully people did do that, but those that didn't, I still think it's worth doing it, because the bottom line is, if you don't have money, you can't pay. And right, presumably, we're all going to be able to bounce back and get back up on our feet at some point. This isn't a permanent situation, hopefully. I do encourage people to talk to their lender, you know, their landlord or their lender, and just see if they can work out an alternative relation, you know, alternative payment arrangement for those types of expenses.
What other tips do you have for small business owners?
Right. Well, I mean, I think, you know, the key is you've got to see what you've got. It's so different for every type of business and every business owner individually. You know, what do you have to sustain you? How long can you make it? You know, our latest research is showing that over half of the small business owners are saying that they think they can make it and hold on for another month or two. This is as of last week. But, you know, there's a lot that we're saying, you know, I don't think I can make it longer than a week. And so then based on that, I mean, you've just got to do what you could do. I mean, sadly, we've seen, I mean, I'm not surprised by the unemployment numbers, because we've talked to members that have been really heartbroken, that they're like, I cannot carry my employees right now. I can't do it and pay my bills. So they've already worked with them on getting their unemployment insurance and said, you know, I'm going to try to keep, you know, a lot of furloughing. So if they were offering business benefits before, they're offering benefits now, but it also frees up the employee to go and collect unemployment insurance. And so That's what's happening, but that's actually another whole ball of wax is the unemployment insurance. That's a very confusing area right now, too. It's really the whole system was not meant for this many people trying to access it at one time, and that's why I think we've got all these problems.
Right. And we got some new labor numbers out today. Jobless claims now exceed 16 million in the United States, which is just a massive number. I wanted to also ask you, Karen, we've been doing a few shows about when people can see relief and just how it's being constructed in the United States. USA Today has a new piece about what's happening in Europe. And it's important to talk about different models because we will definitely see a second relief bill, hopefully sooner than later. And according to this piece, worker advocates say the United States should follow European countries that are directly subsidizing wages, which keeps workers on the payroll so they're not laid off in the first place. So, for example, the British government is covering 80% of workers' salaries if companies retain them up to $3,100 a month. What are your thoughts on this plan?
Right. Well, so I think that's what the Congress was trying to do on some of these. Like the first law they passed was the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, and that required, you know, businesses of all sizes to provide paid sick and family leave, but gave tax credits if you did that. The problem with that was, again, the cash flow issue, because a lot of small business owners didn't have the cash flow to wait for those credits to be realized. And it kind of made the employer, it didn't kind of, in many instances, it made the employer the middleman. And so a lot of our members have, you know, struggled with that. And quite frankly, even back then, we're having to shed employees, just especially the restaurants who knew they were not going to have any business. You know, we're having to shed employees. And so, you know, I can't endorse any other, you know, idea right this minute, but I can say that what we did here was not the most efficient way in handling the problem if you're trying to keep employees on the paycheck in our estimation, because the bottom line is small business owners have as much money as they have, and if they cannot carry them, you know, they cannot carry them. And now with this whole complication of loan relief that was promised shortly thereafter still not being delivered, it's just exacerbating the problems, quite frankly. Mm.
Karen Harned is Executive Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses Small Business Legal Center. And today we are talking about relief for small businesses in the United States. There are 30 million. And according to a new survey by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, 54% have either temporarily closed or expect to close within the next 2 weeks. And you can join us at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We have an email from Joe, who runs Artisans of San Francisco. He says, I have a custom frame shop in the Sunset District. When the city order was issued, I sent my employees home to keep them safe. I've been trying to get funded by the city through COVID-19 relief, but it's been slow. I'm also trying to get relief through the feds, but these are becoming too complex and slow. I am personally working behind the scenes to keep making frames so my customers will get their orders. It's just not enough to keep me going. If I don't receive relief, I may have to go out of business after 30 years. He said, thanks for taking an interest in small businesses. Most of us are just making a living and the reserves do not exist.
Well, that sadly, Joe's story is what we are hearing literally from hundreds of small business owners each week. I mean, that is the thing. They went into business to take care of themselves and their family. They haven't been collecting gold coins. So shutting everything off immediately, you know, that's their lifeblood. That's what they're using to support themselves and their families. And I cannot tell you how many small business owners I've heard from that said, you know, we survived the financial crisis, but we just don't know if we're going to be able to survive this one. Mm.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for your email. Good luck. And we should also use this hour to come up with creative ideas to support each other. So Joe owns a frame shop out in the Sunset District. If anyone needs anything framed, his company is called Artisans of San Francisco. We can also put this list on our website, yourcallradio.org. Now more than ever, it is so important to support each other. Thank you so much, Joe. And you can join us at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Now I would like to welcome two small business owners to the show. Tracy Friley is the owner of the Ooh La La gift shop in Uptown Oakland. Tracy's business is 13 years old this fall. Unfortunately, she had to board up her shop and is now waiting to hear from the Small Business Association. Hi, Tracy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, it's great to have you. We're also joined by Kevin Chan, owner of the Golden Gate Fortune Cookie Factory in San Francisco's Chinatown. Their family has been part of the community for 57 years. Hi, Kevin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Rose. Good morning, everybody. How are
Good
you
morning.
Doing?
Oh, we're hanging in there, Kevin. How are you doing? Can you just give us a sense of what Chinatown looks like right now? What is it like where you are?
It's just like dead. It's just like a ghost town. And
wow.
no outside tourists, nobody, no even local people try to come, you know. The only people come is just to buy vegetables, like the locals, it's our people coming down, you know. Other than that, it's not many people willing to come.
Wow.
It's just terrible.
It is terrible. Well, how are you doing at the Golden Gate Fortune Cookie Factory? How are you all managing to survive right now?
Well, I just have to shut it down, open it up a couple of hours, shut it down, you know. Not doing business, but just to maintain it, to let the light up, you know. So we're here 58 years, and we never had this thing, you know, before, you know. Never. This kind of situation that's, you know, hit us real bad for the past 58 years. Even 911, even, you know, the other disease doesn't hurt us that way.
Wow.
Not us, you know, everybody. I mean,
right, because there's so many small businesses in Chinatown, Kevin, and what are almost all of them closed now?
Yeah, most of them are forced to close. The only thing that the only shop that open is just like pastry, you know, a grocery store, you know, perhaps a couple of restaurants for takeout, you know.
Are you applying for any loans, Kevin?
Yeah, I did try, but I only got one from the city. That's for you know, $7,500, just enough for me to pay the rent.
So the city of San Francisco is offering $7,500 in loans?
No, not loan. It's just $7,500. To you know, to support us to carry on, you know, for our you know payroll and then the rent.
Okay.
So I got $7,500 out of $10,000. So.
Okay, so that's good to know. There are a number of programs at the local level as well as the federal level. What about you, Tracy? You're the owner of the Ooh La La gift shop in Uptown Oakland, and your business is 13 years old this fall. What kind of loans have you applied for so far?
I've only applied for the $10,000 grant through the SBA, but I think that paperwork also allows me to qualify for more. But it's a loan and not a grant. And I think the $10,000 grant, I have to prove that it's going towards the business, which is absolutely fine. I'm just sitting here waiting.
So Oakland is also providing grants for small business owners?
Not that I'm aware of, and if they are, they are for low income. And I don't think I qualify for some of the loans that are available, but they haven't made anything available that I'm aware of for retail specifically yet.
Okay. Well, we're going to be looking up more information for resources at the state and city level. In San Francisco, I believe it's a $10 million small business relief fund, and we will put up information about how you can apply for that. Tracy Friley is owner of the Ooh La La Gift Shop in Uptown Oakland. Tracy, what about contacting your landlord for rent relief while your shop is boarded up?
I think that that's definitely an option. To be honest, I was waiting to hear from SBA. I've been there for 13 years, and until, you know, I've been sheltered in place since March 7th, and so I feel like I really want to pay the rent. Do you know what I mean? I just really want to pay the rent. I don't know if that's odd or if I should be asking for a break at this point, but I just, you know, it's been a month. I want to pay the rent. If I find that another few weeks or 3 weeks goes by and I haven't heard from SBA, then I think I would reach out to my landlord at that point. But I don't know that they're going to waive rent. I think they would push it. So I haven't heard of any cases where any commercial landlords have said, okay, you're going to be rent-free for a few months. I have heard about people pushing rents so that they're due later. So right. I'm still going to be in the same position either way, and I kind of have a double whammy anyway. The store is boarded up. I've turned off my East Bay MUD. I've turned off my Wi-Fi. I have turned off everything except the electricity. I've taken out a portion of the inventory out of the store, and I'm boarded up. So I would like to think that I'm going to get back into business, but it just, honestly, it looks relatively bleak. It was tough before because we had all this construction in downtown Oakland, and it's just kind of bam, bam, bam.
Tracy, is there anything that people can do to support you?
You know, I'm immunocompromised, so there's my triple whammy. So I had this great idea that I was going to do delivery because I own a gift shop, and while it's not essential, you know, life goes on and people have birthdays and, you know, there are holidays, and little trinkets always make people feel better. And I thought, well, you know what, I'll just do delivery. But as more information became available about COVID-19, the less it made sense for me to put myself in harm's way by, you know, just being out in the public in that way, even if it was just delivery. It's just not safe for me. So I've never had an issue with my immune system in the past. I've never not been able to do something. So this is obviously a very unique situation. So I'm having to, you know, rethink everything.
Wow. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's Tracy Friley, owner of the Ooh La La Gift Shop in Uptown Oakland. We're also joined by Kevin Chan, owner of the Golden Gate Fortune Cookie Factory in San Francisco's Chinatown. Kevin, same question to you. I read that your rent actually went up a couple of years ago. Have you been in touch with your landlord about trying to get a break on rent?
They not open. They shut down since March. I don't even have time to pay my rent now.
Yeah.
They just don't open. They just don't communicate. People don't communicate. People don't come out. So my landlord is association. So I don't. I just have to wait. You know, sooner or later I gotta pay. You know, because we have a contract, so we can't be back credit like that.
Right.
But we just have to find out. You know, I hope this thing will, you know, end it sooner. You know, but I don't see it because it will take some maybe a year and a half to get it back to normal.
Kevin, what can people do to support the Golden Gate Fortune Cookie Factory?
I got some people from our town, our state, to send me about $10, $15, you know, just to support me, just to say, okay. But at the end, I didn't take the money. I would end up using their money to mail them back some cookies, you know, which I had to pay extra. Yeah. But that's not the key. The key is to support each other and remember each other during tough times.
I also want to mention, Kevin, that I read on ABC7 that in anticipation of Easter and spring break, the cookie factory ramped up production, and you found yourself with 50,000 fortune cookies and no customers, and so you decided to donate them to people on the front lines?
Yes, I did. I donate evenly to the sheriff of San Mateo, the sheriff of Alameda, and the sheriff of San Francisco. And recent couple of days ago, I actually donate 60 bags of cookies to the Golden Gate Women's Center, that, you know, the domestic violence women's, and they're in the shelters. So I decided to give them a little treat, you know, make them happy. And, you know, good fortune brings good people, you know, together.
Yeah, so true. Kevin, do you have any questions for Karen Harned, who's with the National Federation of Independent Businesses, before we let you go?
I just want to, you know, to say, you know, I did apply for a couple loans, but I have no response back yet. The only one I got from the city is $7,500. That, my rent is $6,4800 already. So I don't see much different helper at all. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, next month is coming up, you know, and I hope they give more care and support to the local business, especially our legacy business. You know, we're here 58 years. August 5th is now our 58 years anniversary, and I don't see August is coming. Mm. So, because I don't know when it's going to stop, and I just want to say, and you know, thank you for you all listening, and just be safe and healthy during the COVID-19 pandemic, and the troubled times that we are living now will not pass overnight. Only in unity and responsibility, then you can win this fight. That's all I want to say to the audience, you know, support each other. Well,
thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us, and we'd love to have you back. We're thinking of you and your family.
Okay. Thank you, Rose, and thank you, everybody. Stay safe. Thank you.
You too. Kevin Chan is the owner of the Golden Gate Fortune Cookie Factory in San Francisco's Chinatown. Kevin's family has been part of that community for 58 years. And unfortunately, the factory is closing in the short term with a plan to reopen once our shelter-in-place policy ends. Tracy, before we let you go, do you have any questions for Karen with NFIB?
I don't know that I have any questions. I really think... it just emotionally, for anyone that has a legacy business, a 15-year-old business, a brand spanking new business that they worked hard to start, it's just, you know, I think everyone is reeling. It almost seems surreal. I think we're all being proactive, and I think whatever is made available to us, we would definitely be there to try to take advantage of it. I think it's also a time for reinvention in a lot of ways. And if nothing else, this is for people like me who I'm not quite sure how this is going to pan out. My baby, my store is, I don't feel like crying. My store is, you know, waiting for me, and I think that I can use e-commerce potentially after this is over, but, you know, I don't know what to ask for. I think, I don't know what to ask for. I think we're all doing the best we can, and we don't want to lose our businesses. No one does. Mm-hmm. So I'm just here to say if the government, local, state can help, I'm down to accept your offers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm alone in that. But other than that, I'm just going to reinvent and re-strategize. I'm trying not to look at this as the end and look at it as a new beginning. Ooh, I wasn't ready for that. Sorry.
Well, no, thank you so much, Tracy. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be thinking of you and your family, and, you know, we'd love to have you back in the coming weeks.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. That is Tracy Friley, owner of the Ooh La La Gift Shop in Uptown Oakland. Her business is 13 years old this fall. She had to board up her shop and is now waiting to hear from the Small Business Administration. Coming up after a break, we'll continue speaking with Karen Harned of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. We've got a lot of questions from listeners who own small businesses, and you can join us at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Your Call on Local Public Radio, KALW. There are many ways you can take part in the conversation on the show, by phone, by sending an email to yourcall@kalw.org, or by going to the yourcallradio.org website. If you'd like to participate in today's show by phone, call toll-free 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK. You can also tweet us at Your Call Radio. Coming up at 11:01 a.m. from WAMU in Washington, whether you like it or not, cooking at home has become necessary and normal. How is America embracing the art of food when some of our food supplies are limited? It's coming up at 11 on 1A. Stay with us.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. This hour, we are talking about resources available for small businesses. We're joined by Karen Harned, Executive Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses Small Business Legal Center. And now I would like to welcome Ari Takata Vasquez to the show. Ari is Executive Director of the Oakland Indie Alliance, a community of more than 300 small-scale entrepreneurs in Oakland. Hi, Ari. Thank you so much for joining us. Hi, Ari, are you with us? All right, we'll connect with Ari in a minute. We're also joined by Sharon Miller, CEO of the Renaissance Entrepreneurship Center. They focus on helping lower-income women and men start and grow their own businesses. Hi, Sharon, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Well, Sharon, I've been reading a lot about the difficulties facing low-income business owners. Can you talk to us about what you've been hearing from the people you work with?
Yes, Karen Harned spoke so eloquently about all the different business products. I mean, we are hearing the need for capital. It's often even more difficult for lower income people who are, you know, don't have the safety nets that maybe some others do. And they're struggling. Their stores are closed. Their businesses dropped. Within the first week of COVID, we conducted a survey, and we saw that businesses were dropping their income by 60% in just the first week.
Wow, by 60%. Well, Karen, I know we have to let you go. Before we do, can you tell us what are we expecting from the next relief bill in D.C. for small businesses?
Well, we were actually hoping to see at least some extra funding today, but, you know, right before I got on or a couple hours before, the Senate was unable to make that happen. So we are asking for that soon because, as I mentioned earlier, the system truly, the demand is great. And that $349 billion, once it gets out, is going to be taken quickly, and they're going to need to give more relief for small business owners across this country. So we're hoping Congress will come back ASAP and get some more relief to small business owners because time is of the essence. Time is of the essence, especially for those on Main Street, like the woman that you just talked with. I mean, her members, I mean, they literally are going week to week, and the weeks have run out.
Exactly. Well, Karen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Good luck to all.
Thank you. Karen Harned is Executive Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses Small Business Legal Center. And we're joined by Sharon Miller, CEO of the Renaissance Entrepreneurship Center. They focus on helping lower-income small business owners. And Ari Takata Vasquez is Executive Director of the Oakland Indie Alliance. Ari, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, thank you so much. So I want to ask both of you, again, we're talking about $350 billion in loans for small businesses. We've got 30 million small businesses in this country. The federal relief bill is taking care of big businesses like multinationals by setting up a $500 billion fund. And critics say that officials are going to distribute that money with little to no oversight. So you know, why is the pot of money smaller for small businesses at a time when we know that they've got cash flow problems? What are your thoughts on that, Sharon?
It's just so unfair. The small businesses desperately need the money, and there have to be more opportunities. There are a few grant opportunities out there that are available. We have many of them listed at Renaissance on our website, which is rencenter.org. But what I have been hearing is that as soon as the grant opportunity goes live, it's overwhelmed within hours. So it's really just a terrible shame that there aren't more resources pouring into our small businesses. They are the heart of our economy and our neighborhoods, and we need them.
Well, to your point about grants, according to KTVU, the city of Oakland is going to set aside $300,000, and grants of $5,000 will be given to small businesses owned by low-income people. Ari, you are the executive director of the Oakland Indie Alliance. You work with small-scale entrepreneurs. What are you hearing from them?
People are definitely excited that this is sort of the first tranche of money coming out from the city. But with all of these funds, we know that it's just not enough. We represent about 400 businesses in Oakland. And from our sort of rough projections of, you know, if we were to issue grants of that scale to our members, we would be, you know, in the tens of billions. So while I definitely think it's a good beginning and the infrastructure is there, and I'm really happy that they're partnering with folks like Working Solutions to issue those grants, the challenge that Oakland and other similarly sized cities are running into is that it's just not enough money.
So basically at this point, Ari, the fact of the matter is these pools of money just need to be increased, right? Because there's just so much demand.
Exactly.
What other solutions would you like to see, Sharon?
Well, I would like to see just more opportunities for small businesses. This is also especially devastating for businesses that are run by undocumented people. They do not have access to these same products. And ways that any consumers can help as well. There are numerous ways to buy your food online, to get your groceries delivered, but use small businesses to do this. Buy gift certificates, even for yourself, for future uses that for massage therapy, hair, your salons, anything that consumers can do to help directly would be really, really meaningful at this time as well.
Right. And it's so important to give people that kind of information to really support your small local business in your own neighborhood. We have a number of emails from listeners, and I'd love to see if you can answer some of these questions, Ari and Sharon. Karen writes, I retired due to physical considerations. Now I babysit, clean, and do odd jobs to stay afloat. These jobs are gone due to loss of work for people I did cash work for. I can pay rent and eat, but credit card debt and interest accrued prior to sudden retirement, and that's terrifying. My anxiety seems to be paralyzing. Mm-hmm. Any ideas? Sharon?
Yes. First, call your credit card company. Maybe they will be helpful and sympathetic. That's a hope. There also, as Karen had mentioned, there might be some relief programs starting on Friday that are for people who are self-employed, and that might be one area of support.
Because a lot of people do work for cash. A lot of undocumented people. I have a few friends who have very small businesses, and they're paid with cash. So what options are out there for them, Sharon?
I mean, sadly, right now, they're few and far between. These are small steps but might be helpful. At Renaissance, we're offering a lot of consulting and training. We're happy to help people. It's at no cost. Are there ways that people can move their businesses online? Clearly, if you are a house cleaner, that's really not a business that you can move online. But for those who can, to try different things like that, maybe some of the local businesses need help with delivery. Again, these are Band-Aids right now. I mean, we need really big solutions, but they're small steps that people can take.
Ari, do you have any other recommendations?
Sure. On the credit card front, what I've we've sort of heard more anecdotally, is that when you do call your credit card companies, it's key that you say my wages have been reduced due to COVID-19. I think that's something that people haven't been necessarily explicit with, but from what we've heard, people have had more success because it opens up more options for your credit card company to offer you relief for this emergency. So that's one thing that I would recommend. And then the other thing that could be a good possibility is Onward California. So it's onwardca.org. It's basically a platform that was launched by one of our partners, Bitwise, and it basically helps people who have lost their jobs to reconnect to resources and potential new jobs. So that's online. It's onwardca.org, and it's going to be a useful resource moving forward as we all try to recover.
All right. Thank you for that. I should also mention the San Francisco Chronicle had a story yesterday about car insurance offering discounts for people since most of us are not really driving right now. Call your car insurance company and ask them for a discount. Kathleen Pender wrote the piece. She got a discount, and some people she quoted in the piece also got a discount. We have an email from Janet. She writes, I'm an independent contractor form 1099 massage therapist who pays taxes quarterly, working two gig jobs in the Bay Area. Is there anything I can do for COVID-19 relief? I hear varying information and EDD forms are not applicable. I obviously cannot work. There are a lot of us in this boat. Sharon, what would you say?
Well, I believe that EDD is going to be opening some new opportunities on Friday, and that would be a place where Janet might be able to get some support. If you have documentation of what you have been paid, you can use that as transferable information, as this was your salary. It was, you know, your income over the past year. So those are some numbers that you can use.
Ari, any other recommendations?
Yeah, absolutely what Sharon said. EDD is encouraging most people to apply, even if they don't think they qualify. So folks in our group who are self-employed, often sole props, who don't issue themselves pay stubs, were a little bit wary about putting in unemployment claims, but we've had some success with folks getting money.
All right. Well, thank you for the email, Janet, and we'll continue trying to find resources for you. We have another email from Jean Marie. I'm a 60-year-old sole proprietor of house cleaning service with no employees, work out of my home, a rented apartment. I have not registered my business with the city, but have reported all my income and paid taxes and keep books. It's a health-based service, so it's essential for basic sanitation. Do I qualify for relief? Sharon?
I believe that you should qualify for relief. I can't guarantee it, but I believe it's likely that you would qualify.
All right, Jean Marie, thank you. There's resources on our website, and I hope that helps you. We have an email from Jennifer who writes, my non-toxic hair salon, Ashira Salon, is in Albany. The only thing that's clear right now is that nothing is clear and things keep changing. Why is the loan percentage 3.75% when refinancing one's house is as low as 2.75%? The city of Berkeley is offering grants, and the city of Oakland has a similar program, but the small print says that they can take your business if you can't pay it back. She just says, you know, where are the grants? It's just the whole process is very confusing. Any help for Jennifer, Sharon?
Well, you're not alone in being confused. There are some grants out there. Hello Alice has a grant program, I believe. Facebook is launching one. Sarah Brady from Spanx has launched one. So there are a few of them. We are putting them on the Ren Center website, so that's one place you might be able to find them.
Is there one specific place people can go? Because right now it seems like a lot of the information is on a lot of different websites, and it can be pretty confusing.
I don't believe there's one website with everything, and I think that's one of the problems, is that there is just this flow of information out there. The city of San Francisco has information on their website. So do the local cities. It's possible that there could be a local resource that might be available. the SBA has information as well. So there's just a lot of different sources of information. And because the information keeps getting changed and updated, that's just another barrier for having it in one place.
Right. Well, and the Renaissance Entrepreneurship Center is rencenter.org. Philip
yes.
writes, I'm the chair of the Immigrants and Refugee Action Group at All Saints Episcopal Church in Palo Alto. We're looking for ways to help undocumented immigrants who are impacted by the COVID-19 crisis. Since most of us belong to the 60-plus crowd, we're looking for ways to help that do not require us to leave our homes. Can you recommend organizations that help undocumented people with cash payments or other services to support daily life? Ari, do you have any suggestions?
I think the difficulty is that a lot of the help that folks need right now is getting resources kind of to the front lines. So I don't have any off the top of my head that I could think of, but you could always go to your local city and see if they're organizing volunteers.
Any resources, Sharon?
Well, since the group is in Palo Alto, Renaissance has a site in East Palo Alto, so we're really working very closely in that community with many undocumented persons. So we would be happy to help make connections there.
All right. Well, thank you for that email. We did a show about the undocumented community. I believe it was last week, and we will definitely continue doing shows about this. We're going to focus on farm workers shortly. And now I would like to welcome Henry Wimmer to the show. Henry is founder and owner of Open Mind Music, which is in Rock Ridge in Oakland. He started his business in San Francisco back in 1994. Hi, Henry. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Rose. Thank you for your call. I really appreciate this today.
Well, thank you so much, Henry. So tell us what's going on with your shop. Have you applied for loans?
Yes, I've applied for the SBA and the PPP, and I know the systems are overwhelmed, and I'm exploring grant programs. And my predicament is Open Mind Music, which is over in the Rock Ridge area, a really supportive area for small businesses, because most of the businesses along that College Avenue strip are indie businesses like me. But it's this not knowing about the next stages of where will these bridge funds come. And I think it's really imperative for your listeners to know that whenever they can support a local business, be it through, like in our case, we're offering gift certificates and special orders, and we can do mail order. Our physical retail store, of course, is closed due to the mandated closure. And it's just a very stressful and anxious time for people like me. In my case, I expanded my business 8 months ago. So my overhead at a bigger space is considerably larger, and I'm really exploring all avenues for financial help. But I got to underline, it's really great when the neighborhood and customers at large really take to heart the perils of small business, because as I think Karen was talking about earlier, that the multinational larger businesses seem to be getting the bigger part of the pie, whereas small businesses make up the infrastructure of our economy, and it's really critical to get help to people like me.
Right. And Henry, it sounds like, you've been around owning a business for a long time. Can you give any tips to people who might be a little newer and are overwhelmed by this process?
Yeah. It's really important to mitigate anxiety by, doing a little exercise, getting your breathing calmed down, and just take small steps for larger gains. Look into, as Karen was talking about their different grant programs, it really helps to calm yourself to not only reach out to your friends and your community, but to take active steps to explore what grant programs are out there. The big problem is these systems are totally overwhelmed, and it's the black hole that everything goes into. We don't really know a timeline of relief or when we can get back on our feet. And you know, it's really daunting, and I can empathize with my brethren and the other businesses who are in my space who are up against all these financial pressures. And you can defer certain overhead costs, but everything is predicated on having income. So,
right.
As a small business owner, in my case, I don't have any payroll. So a lot of these programs are for small businesses that have payroll. We're a total ma and pa. My partner Monica and I, we work all of the hours ourselves, and we've established good rapport in the community for Open Mind Music. But it's so critical when people,
Henry, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're almost out of time, and I just want to make sure that I can give out your website. Thank you so much for joining us. Henry Wimmer is founder.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We'd love to have you back. Founder and owner of the retail record store Open Mind Music in the Rockridge neighborhood of Oakland. They're closed, but they are taking mail orders at openmindmusicshop.com. Thank you so much, Henry. We have about a minute or so left, Ari. Final thoughts from you? I mean, we've been talking about the relief now, but we need more. And we know that a bill is being worked on in D.C., what else can you say to people who are having a hard time filling out the applications, and what can we expect?
I think right now there's a few things that, for the business owners to keep in mind, taking care of yourself, sort of, like you mentioned, is key, and connecting with other business owners who, you can form some bonds with, share best practices. Try to join one of your local associations, like the Oakland Indie Alliance. We have really rich information sharing, where we're finding grants, sharing it out with the group, asking for best practices. So I'd say reach out, build your community. This is the time to rely on your neighbor. And I'd say for the general public, right now is also the time to support what you want to see on the other side of this crisis. If we don't support our independent businesses now, they won't be here when we're able to go back outside. So do what you can to buy gift cards, to order from them online. Give through their GoFundMes. Do whatever you can to support the independent businesses that create the characters of our cities.
Ari Tejada-Vasquez is Executive Director of the Oakland Indie Alliance, a community of more than 300 small-scale entrepreneurs in Oakland. Thank you so much for joining us, Ari.
Thanks for having me.
And Sharon, quick final thoughts, about 30 seconds.
Yes. Renaissance can help people to navigate some of these financial issues in terms of filling out these forms or determining which the best direction to go is. So please feel free to reach out to us. And for the business owners, just everybody, show them a lot of love. They are so wonderful, and we need to support them in every way we can.
Sharon Miller is CEO of the Renaissance Entrepreneurship Center. They focus on helping lower income small business owners. Sharon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we have a great tip from Patricia, who says, if you're making a salary, consider paying your house cleaner in advance for when they clean for you again, or just to help them out while you are comfortable during this time. Great advice. Thank you so much, Patricia. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.